You're listening to the Raise to Empower podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Kamajis, a licensed clinical social worker with a multi-state online therapy practice. I have a passion for empowering women and mom therapists to break free of the fear, overwhelm, and oppressive systems that hold them back from taking action and building the private practice of their dreams. My goal is for you to boldly believe in yourself as a clinician and business owner. If you're looking for a place to learn practice building strategy and skill while also claiming your own power as a woman and a therapist, then you're in the right place. Welcome to the show. Welcome back to this week's episode of the Raise to Empower podcast. Today, I want to talk about something that comes up pretty frequently in conversations with fellow colleagues, and definitely something that ran around in my own head when I was starting out in private practice. And that's the fear of narrowing down, of choosing a niche, of kind of saying, this is the population or this is the ideal client that I serve. We're going to talk today about where this fear comes from and why I think it's so common for many of us, and then what actually happens when we let go of the generalist mindset. We're going to dig into kind of five core sections today: why we became generalists in the first place, how staying as that generalist can hold us back, and how niching actually gives us more freedom, the fears that hold most of us back from niching, and then a plan to kind of start figuring out what our niche actually is. And I'm going to share some parts of my own story and some examples so this can hopefully connect with you and feel really real and relatable. And at the end, if you're like, okay, Ashley, I might need some support around this, I'll tell you a little bit about how we can work together. So whether you're driving or folding some laundry today, get comfy, and we're going to talk about the power of choosing a direction in our practice that fits us. So in thinking about this generalist mindset, let's kind of start by looking at how did we all end up here, right? How did we get here? Most therapists don't graduate with a business plan or a marketing strategy. We graduate with broad training in human behavior, diagnosis, clinical interventions, ethics, all of those things. Our focus when we went to grad school was helping people, not identifying target markets. And that's okay, right? Our school served a really important purpose. I know I knock grad school sometimes here, but it really did serve a purpose. But the problem is that it left us wildly unprepared for the reality of building a sustainable and meaningful private practice. That was not in our training at all. In grad school, we were trained to be the generalist. We learned about anxiety and depression, trauma, relationships, addiction, grief, kids, adults, families. We had to know a little bit about everything. And when we entered the field, most of us worked in community mental health or an agency or hospitals. We really had no choice over our caseloads. We were told, you're going to just take whatever kind of comes through the door. And that becomes ingrained in us, that we think that this is just how this work is. We internalize that being a good therapist means being endlessly adaptable, that it means being open to every issue, every population, every setting. And in a way, that belief becomes kind of like a badge of honor. We take pride in our flexibility. We feel responsible for helping anyone who seeks our services, even if it doesn't align with our strengths or our interests. And there's the financial piece too. Most of us don't start out with a full caseload. We feel pressure to say yes to every referral, not because it is a great fit, but because we need the income. And let's be real, you're trying to pay your bills. And so the idea of saying no to clients, especially when we're starting out, can feel almost irresponsible. But I want you to hear me say this, and I want to say it with love. Just because something is common does not mean that it is sustainable. The generalist mindset might be your default mode. It was for me for a long time, but it doesn't have to be your permanent one. So I'm going to share a little bit about how this showed up for me. When I started my private practice, back when I was with a group practice, I did not have a niche. I honestly didn't even know that that was an option. I believed that having a full practice meant saying yes to everyone. It was not really a strategic choice. It was just driven by fear and what I assumed I had to do. There was a fear of turning people away, a fear of limiting myself, a fear of failing. And it was also driven a bit by working in a group practice that didn't fully support me in building a caseload that felt aligned with the work I felt called to do. Before working in private practice, I primarily had worked with teens and kids, but teens and young adults really was the population that I felt like I really wanted to focus on. Kids was not my strong suit. It really was not something that I felt passionate about, but I was frequently given referrals that didn't fit the populations that I felt like I actually had skills and experience with. And so I just kind of sucked it up and accepted the cases, the clients that I was given, because that's what we were taught to do, right? I didn't honestly know who I actually wanted to work with. And that's on me, right? I didn't know that. And so I didn't know how to fully communicate that to the practice I was a part of. And so because I didn't actually know who or what kind of population I wanted to work with, I didn't know that my caseload didn't feel right. And so when I did start attracting more clients and getting more new referrals, I found myself exhausted and drained. Now, some clients were a great fit, but others, there absolutely were sessions that I just dreaded. I overprepared or I second-guessed my work. I felt tension before the sessions and drained afterwards. And I did begin to wonder at times, like, is this just what private practice is? I mean, there were absolutely parts of it that I loved, but there were some parts of it that just didn't quite feel right. And it wasn't about my skills as a clinician. It wasn't about even second-guessing necessarily private practice. Really, it was about misalignment. I was trying to be everything to everyone, and in the process, I was losing my passion, my direction, really, and my energy. I didn't fully feel like I was enjoying the work that I was doing, even though I worked for myself, because I was constantly forcing myself to stretch into spaces that did not feel like mine. And so I'm going to pause here and ask you a few questions to reflect on. If you are listening and you have the ability to kind of write these down, you may want to do that. So do you feel energized after sessions with most of your clients, or are you feeling depleted? Do you find yourself dreading certain sessions more than others? Are you constantly researching or questioning your clinical decisions with specific clients? Have you said yes to a client and then immediately felt that pit in your stomach? These are not signs that you are a bad therapist. They are signs that you may be operating outside of your zone of alignment. And the beautiful thing is that once you name that, you can shift it. So if this is hitting home for you, if this feels connected, take a breath. You're not alone and you're not doing something wrong. You just were never taught to build a focused, values-aligned practice, and that it is possible, and it's actually the most sustainable path forward. You are allowed to build a practice that fits you. You're allowed to want clarity. You're allowed to want ease. You're allowed to want alignment. And none of that makes you selfish or ungrateful. It just makes you strategic, sustainable, and empowered. So let's look at the hidden cost, though, of staying a generalist, because while it can feel like the safer route, it often quietly chips away at your energy, your confidence, and the ability to grow your practice sustainably. Marketing. If you've ever tried to write a Psychology Today profile or update your website and felt like your bio or your website could belong to any one of 100 therapists, that's a sign that you may be stuck, or not may, you are stuck in the generalist mode. Your message is probably too vague. And when your message is vague, it really doesn't land with anybody. For example, imagine that you write, "I help adults manage anxiety, depression, trauma, and life transitions." I'm going to be honest, that definitely was on my first website. And while that's technically true, does it emotionally resonate with the clients you're trying to draw in? Probably not. It does not tell the reader anything about who you really help or how you help them. Now, compare that with, "I help new moms navigate postpartum anxiety and rediscover identity in the early months of motherhood." That one, that makes a potential client sit up and say, "That's me. That speaks directly to who I am and what I'm going through." And it's not just clients who respond to clarity, referral sources do too. Colleagues want to refer to someone who specializes. They want to feel confident that they're sending their client to the right place. When your work is clearly defined, it's easy for others to remember what you do and send you the right people. When your work is broad, it becomes forgettable. And here's another way that this shows up emotionally. The generalist mindset often leads to burnout. You're constantly switching gears between age groups, issues, treatment approaches. One session, you're working with a child using play therapy, and the next, you're supporting an adult through trauma processing. Your brain is kind of constantly shifting roles, and that takes an immense amount of energy. When you're working with clients who aren't aligned with your strengths or passions, you often feel unsure or disconnected, even resentful. I've definitely experienced that. It's really hard to admit, but it is real. And I often hear from therapists that I coach, you know, things like, I feel drained at the end of the day. I question if I'm even good at this anymore. I dread certain sessions with clients, but I don't know how to fix it. I'm spread too thin that I'm not doing my best work. All of those are experiences and symptoms of a misalignment, not failure. They point to a lack of clarity in your caseload, not a lack of skill. There's a reason I say that a generalist mindset creates kind of invisible roadblocks. On the surface, things might be working. You have clients, you're getting paid, but underneath, it's not sustainable. You feel stuck, overwhelmed, unsure of how to move forward. But what if it didn't have to operate like that anymore? What if you had a caseload that aligned with your strengths, your values, and interests? What if marketing felt simple because you knew exactly who you were talking to? What if you felt energized instead of depleted at the end of the day? That is what becomes possible when you let go of that generalist mindset. Are you a mental health practitioner looking to streamline your administrative tasks and get rid of the overwhelm of running your practice? Look no further than Simple Practice, the electronic health record designed with you in mind. Simple Practice isn't just another electronic health record. It's your secret weapon for simplifying the chaos. From scheduling appointments to billing and beyond, Simple Practice has everything you need to run your practice efficiently and effectively. With Simple Practice, you can finally reclaim your time and focus on what truly matters, your clients and your family. Gone are the days of scrambling to manage appointments and billing. Simple Practice handles it all seamlessly so you can spend less time stressing and more time connecting. With Simple Practice, you can schedule appointments with ease, send automated appointment reminders to reduce no-shows, and even conduct secure video sessions all within one platform. Plus, their HIPAA-compliant telehealth feature ensures that your client's privacy is always protected. Simple Practice also streamlines your billing process, allowing you to create and send professional invoices, accept credit card payments, and even submit insurance claims all with just a few clicks. Simple Practice has designed their platform to be intuitive and easy to use because they know that your time is precious and every moment counts. So whether you're squeezing in clients between school pickups and sports practices or catching up on paperwork during nap time, Simple Practice has your back. Join the ranks of empowered women and mom therapists who are revolutionizing their practice with Simple Practice. Ready to streamline your practice and simplify your life? Head over to bit.ly/AshleySimplePractice to start your 30-day free trial and get up to $200 off your paid subscription. Trust me, you won't know how you ever lived without it. There's a big misconception I want to address, and that's this idea that somehow choosing a niche limits your practice, that by deciding to focus, you are cutting yourself off from opportunity. But in reality, it's actually the opposite. Choosing a niche does not restrict you. It frees you. It frees energy, your time, your emotional bandwidth. It makes everything easier, from writing content to showing up confidently on social media to attracting the kind of clients who light you up. And when you have a niche, you're no longer having to constantly switch gears between different issues and populations. You're not reinventing the wheel for every client. Instead, you're deepening your skill set. You are getting better at the kind of work that matters most to you. You're becoming known for it. And the truth might surprise you. Clarity actually creates momentum. When your message is clear, people start referring to you more often. Clients find you and say, I read your website. I felt like you were talking directly to me. And that doesn't happen when your message is diluted. It happens when your message is focused. So I'm going to give you a real world example. I had a therapist I was working with who came to me feeling overwhelmed. Her caseload was all over the place. Kids, teens, adults, couples, trauma, ADHD, anxiety, life transitions. And she was burnt out. She didn't feel confident in her marketing because she didn't know what to say. Through our work together, she realized that the clients she loved working with the most were women who had NICU experiences and postpartum. She lit up when she talked about it, and she actually had some lived experience. She had some specialized training, but she'd been afraid to niche down because she didn't want to miss out on other referrals. But once she leaned in, everything shifted. Her copy got easier to write. Her referrals became more aligned. She was doing more of the work she loved and less of the work that drained her. And because she was energized, her clients benefited too. She had more space to be present, creative, and supportive. And that's what I mean when I say a niche equals freedom. Freedom to do your best work, freedom to serve more deeply, freedom to grow a practice that feels more fulfilling and not depleting. And the thing that's really cool is that your niche can evolve. Mine absolutely has. It doesn't have to be set in stone. You're not locking yourself into one thing forever. But you do need a starting point, a direction, something that allows you to build momentum. So if you're afraid of getting stuck in a box, I want you to think about this, that you are the one building the box. You get to shape it however you want. And you can always open it up later, take it apart, and build a new one, or even add on to it on the side. So I've kind of painted a picture of what's possible when you kind of identify and claim the niche that you want to focus on. But we also have to acknowledge that often what shows up right after that kind of initial excitement can be fear or resistance or self-doubt. And these feelings are completely normal. Choosing a niche isn't just a business decision. It's a vulnerable move. It asks you to be seen, to name who you are and who you serve and what you stand for. And that can be a bold thing to do, especially in a profession where we're often taught to blend in and not stand out. So I'm going to talk about some of the most common fears that I hear from therapists when it comes to niching down. So number one, you know, what if I pick the wrong niche? And that is probably one of the biggest ones, but it makes sense. We don't want to make a mistake. We worry that if we commit to one niche, maybe we'll wake up 6 months from now and feel stuck, or worse, like we've branded ourselves into a corner. But I want you to know and hear me loud and clear that your niche can evolve. You are not tattooing it onto your forehead. You are simply choosing a direction that fits you right now. You're allowed to shift. You're allowed to experiment. Your first niche does not have to be your final one. In fact, most of us refine our niche over time. We learn more about ourselves and our clients as we go. So think about this almost like dating. You're allowed to change your mind. You're not committed to this one niche for the rest of your life. Fear number two, there won't be enough clients if I narrow down. And honestly, this fear is rooted in scarcity. It's one that's often reinforced by our early agency experiences where we are overworked and underpaid. But the reality is a niche doesn't mean fewer clients. In fact, it often leads to more clients because now people know exactly who you help. Your marketing becomes more magnetic. Your name starts to circulate in the right communities and your message gets repeated. You don't need hundreds of clients to have a thriving practice. You just need the right clients, and your niche helps them find you. Fear number three, I'll get bored if I narrow down too much. This one comes from creative, curious, multi-passionate therapists, and I get it. You enjoy variety. You don't want every session to feel the same. But here's the secret. Variety still exists even within a niche. For example, if you specialize in helping new moms, you might still work with clients that are navigating anxiety, relationship changes, identity shifts, traumatic births, sleep deprivation, career changes, all of the things. You're still getting variety in the challenges that they face, but you have an anchor. You have a lens. You're not jumping from teenagers with ADHD to couples with betrayal trauma to aging adults with grief. And you can evolve your niche as your interests evolve. Focus doesn't shut the door on creativity. It gives you a container for it. Fear number four, I'm not expert enough to claim a niche. This is imposter syndrome in disguise. You tell yourself you need more training, more experience, more certification before you're allowed to call yourself a specialist. And I'll be honest, this was a big thing for me when I was starting out, when I was really looking at having a niche of this feeling like, can I say that this is what I specialize in? But let me ask you something. How much training is enough? And who decides that? Being a niche provider doesn't mean you have to be the world's leading expert. It just means that you're passionate, you're competent, and dedicated to doing excellent work in that area. And that's enough. Clients don't want a perfect expert. They want someone who understands them, someone who sees them. And if you have the training and insight to serve a specific population, you are ready. Fear number five, I live in a small town and there aren't enough people to support a niche. And this is where online therapy becomes a game changer and I think is just so beautiful. Your license allows you to work with anyone in your state, which means your reach is even broader. And there are more than enough clients in your state to support a focus practice. Your niche doesn't have to be micro-specific. It just needs to be clear. You're not looking to serve everyone. You're looking to consistently serve the clients that are the best fit for you. And so let me say it again, you don't need thousands of clients. You need a clear message that helps the right clients to find you. So take a breath. These fears are normal. I absolutely have had them all at different times, but they're not fixed realities. They're invitations to slow down, to look inward and ask yourself what kind of a practice you truly want. Now, you've stuck with me this far and you might be thinking, okay, Ashley, I get it. I want to have a niche or I want to change up my niche. I'm ready. How do I actually figure out what my niche is? The idea of niching down sounds good in theory, but when you sit down to define it, it can feel really overwhelming. Like you need to have some magical epiphany about one of your true purposes as a therapist. So let me take that pressure off you. Defining your niche is not a one-time decision. It's a process of listening to yourself, to your clients, and to your energy. It's about looking for the patterns in what lights you up and what weighs you down. It's about taking on one step at a time and not having it all figured out on day one. So I'm going to walk you through a framework that you can use to begin uncovering your niche. Step number one is to reflect on your favorite clients. You know, pull out a pen and paper, write down the names or initials of like 3 to 5 clients you have loved working with over the course of your career. These are the sessions that energize you, the ones that flew by, the ones where you walked out thinking that felt really good. And so then after naming those clients, what are some patterns that exist? What do they have in common? What were they working through? What did you love about helping them? This isn't about surface level similarities. It's about shared themes or values and energy. Step two, explore your lived experience. What parts of your story shape the kind of therapist you are? Maybe you have navigated motherhood, loss, chronic illness, career transitions, identity exploration. Maybe you've been in high pressure jobs or moved often due to a partner's career. Those experiences inform your empathy, your insight, and your connection. A lot of times providers say we are oftentimes working with a former version of ourselves. And clients are drawn to authenticity. Your story doesn't have to be the same as theirs, but if you can speak from lived compassion and lived experience, they will feel that. That resonance is often what makes a niche feel deeply aligned. And step three, consider your skill set and curiosity. Where do you feel competent and curious? What trainings have you taken that you loved? What topics do you find yourself researching or talking about in your free time? Niches are sustainable when they're anchored in both strength and interest. You want to serve in an area where you feel confident and where your passion keeps you growing. Step four, write your dream caseload. If you could wave a magic wand and fill your calendar with the perfect clients, what would that look like? What kind of work would you be doing? What kind of sessions would feel most meaningful? What themes would show up again and again? Don't worry, it can feel messy or broad at first, but it's about getting honest with yourself before you start refining. And then step five, start testing your message. Once you have a sense of your niche, begin experimenting. Update your website, create a social post that speaks to your ideal client. Start using clearer language in consultations. You don't have to launch a brand overhaul overnight. Think of it like trying on an outfit. You're seeing how it feels, how it fits, how people respond. Let yourself be kind of in beta. You'll learn more from doing than from waiting for clarity to strike. And here's the most important thing. Your niche should feel good in your body. And I know that might kind of sound weird, but it should. You should feel a little spark of excitement, a breath of relief, a sense of, oh, this is what I'm meant to help. If your niche feels tight or forced or draining, I want you to take a pause and revisit. If it feels expansive, energizing, and clear, then that's your green light. Something is connecting. As we wrap up today, I want to leave you with a few final thoughts and an invitation. If this episode stirred something in you, whether it was excitement, clarity, hesitation, or even fear, I want you to know that all of that is valid. You're not behind, you're not failing, you're right on time. What you're feeling is the tension between where you've been and where you're being called to go. Letting go of the generalist mindset isn't about discarding your training or experience. It's about honoring your energy. It's about making space for the kind of work that lights you up and allows you to thrive, not just survive in private practice. It's okay to want more alignment. It's okay to want more clarity. It's okay to want to feel more you in your work. That doesn't make you picky or selfish. It makes you a business owner who's building something intentional and sustainable. If that is the kind of clarity and strategy you know that you need support with, I would love to walk with you in this. I offer one-on-one clarity and strategy sessions where we dig deep into your practice, what's working, what's not, and where you want to go. Together, we'll clarify your niche, refine your message, uncover where your energy is being drained, and create an aligned plan for your next steps. You'll walk away not just with ideas, but with next steps that you can implement immediately. So if this sounds like the kind of support you're craving or you need, I invite you to head to raisedempower.com to book your clarity and strategy session, or you can check the link in the show notes to learn more. Thank you so much for joining me here today. I am proud of you for doing this inner work, because it is work, and for showing up for your vision, even when it feels scary. Remember, you are raised to empower your clients, your family, and yourself. I'll see you back here next week. Thank you so much for listening to the Raise to Empower podcast. Check the show notes for all links and resources mentioned in the show. If you found today's episode helpful or inspiring, be sure to share it with your therapist friends. And don't forget to subscribe to the show and leave your 5-star rating and review. It truly means so much to me and will help us get our message of empowerment out to other women and mom clinicians. And I'd love to connect with you in our Facebook community. So check out the show notes for the link, or head to bit.ly/raisedtoempower to join us. I'll see you back here next week.